starting 4:50-ish. And the first pitch at 5 o'clock in a regional championship game. That game from, I believe it's going to be the Wyack Sports Complex in Plover. And we'll have the broadcast for you on Thursday afternoon. But Paul Fredrickson's going to come over here and see if he has a minute to join us here, because he's got to be a happy man, that's for sure. As it is, Raiders coach Paul Fredrickson. That's a heck of a job by your ladies here today. You got off to a good start, both on the mound and at the plate, and it's what tournament baseball winning's all about, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I talked to her before the game, and I said, hey, hit one out right away, and let's get the ball rolling. And I was kind of half-joking. I knew she had the power, and wow. And then Staus, and then, you know, a little lull in the second. And the third, I think that's kind of our, we'll call it our jugular moment of the game there.
Absolutely. Talk about Allison as a pitcher. That's as good as I've, you know, I've done three or four of your games here, and she had it today, didn't she?
She did. The leadoff batter grounded to second, and the number two hitter, her second time up, bunted for a hit.
And that's it.
And 14 strike. And 14 I've strikeouts. Honestly never seen anything like it.
That's something else. Makes your job easy, doesn't it?
It does. And I didn't even know what to say in there. I was like, holy cow, proud of you girls. You're awesome. And I'm going to assume Pacelli's the team.
Pacelli just in the bottom of the sixth made it a 10-run game. So
I'm surprised it took that long.
Yep. So you'll get the top seed coming up here.
We will.
On Thursday.
We'll do the best we can and see what we can do.
Allison throws like that today. You know, I'll take your chances. So we'll see.
You
they're
bet.
A good team, though, aren't they?
They're solid. I mean, they lost one game, and that wasn't by accident.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Well, hey, congratulations this afternoon.
Right,
I'll see you on Thursday.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks
for
coming.
Look forward to it. All right, Paul Fredrickson here, head coach of the Red Raiders. As Marathon beats Edgar this afternoon by a score of 10-0, we'll advance to play Pacelli on Thursday in a regional final from Plover. We'll have the broadcast for you. 4:50, our pregame coverage, 5 o'clock. First pitch from the Wyack Sports Complex in Plover. 10-0 Marathon wins it. I'm Tom Weaver. Thanks for listening to Marathon Softball. We'll see you on Thursday here on 98.9 WXCO.
This has been Marathon High School Sports on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.FM. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Marathon Sports has been brought to you by County Materials, Marathon Park City, Marathon Cheese, The Dirks Group, Brickner's of Little Chicago, The People's State Bank, Four Seasons Screen Printing, Marathon Family Dentistry, and the Marathon Athletic Club. Thanks for joining us for Marathon High School Sports on 98.9 WXCO.
A whole different world coming out here and seeing the behind-the-scenes action. So I'm very grateful that they were able to welcome me in there and just talk and hang out for a little bit. They all seem like really good guys.
That's Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There were recent rumors about John Krasinski's nose job, which the actor denied. Krasinski did, however, confirm one rumor, and that is that if The Office has a spinoff, he is in for a cameo appearance. Krasinski played Jim Halpert for all 9 seasons of the hit NBC show. FYI, plastic surgeons have dismissed the idea that Krasinski changed his nose and suggested it looks smaller due to lighting, aging, or weight fluctuations. Sure. In a related story, Rainn Wilson, who played Dwight on the show, openly admitted to having his forehead forehead reduced. Finding your groove after divorce has to be difficult. For Jessica Simpson, she tried to get it back last week on American Idol, singing for the first time on TV in about 15 years, and it did not go well. And now says she's not opposed to getting back into acting. Not sure if she could top her performance as Daisy Duke. It's nice to have choices, though. Do I revive my career as a mediocre singer or a mediocre actor? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, cloudy sky, few showers around at times. Low tonight, low 50s. High tomorrow in the upper 60s. Dries out for the end of the week and the upcoming weekend as the temps climb. Heating up into the 70s Thursday, close to 80 for Friday and the weekend. Currently, it's 66.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian-singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
Hey, Kutagi to all my friends and relatives. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'll be your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Native Roots Trading Post. We have a shop now at Cause Cart, which is Cause, C-A-U-S-E, cart.shop. Search Native Roots to find Resist Air. Thank you for your support. We're going to be here in just a second. We have a little echo going on here, but we're ready to go. Here we go. Sorry about that. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. Shop now at causecart.shop and search Native Roots to find your Resist Gear. Pinagigi for your support.
Yeah. Hey, Wendy. Things are going good. We had this is kind of like the old days of Pilots
you and
Progressive.
Me messing up in the beginning, but then recovering quickly and taking a deep breath
for years.
Exactly.
Hey, let's talk a little bit about Cause Cart again. And I know Cause Cart. If you go on to Cause Cart and type in Native Roots, you'll be able to support us, get those Resist shirts, and also the beautiful jewelry that came out of our store that you made.
Yeah, and actually, we've sold a couple of pieces of jewelry, so I'm really happy about that. We have earrings, really beautiful earrings, yes. Handmade, smudged off, prayed upon, and really put a lot of work and heart and soul. Heart and soul goes into the art, you know? It really does, and it's Cause Cart.
Is that .org?
.shop.
.shop.
Yes.
Ooh, there's another
dot
thing.
.shop. Right? Cause Cart. It's hard to say. Causecart.shop.
Seems like anyone that comes on the radio, I rub off on. I'm not very, very good speaker. That's
Either. I want to talk about our Memorial Day weekend.
Well, before you do that, I just want to give a shout out to Ho-Chunk and Prairie Island with their powwows. It looked like an excellent time. And supporting our veterans and veterans in the Native way, Wendy, as you know, we have 15% of Native Americans are in the military, and we're only 2% of the 2% of the population. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of pride and with these powwows, and especially Memorial Day. And so I want to give a big shout out to those two powwows that we've been to over the years.
Yeah, definitely. And your dad was in the military.
Yeah, he was in World War II.
Pilot, yeah.
The real Bob Pilot.
The real Bob Pilot, the one you're named after.
Right. He was in World War II in a B-17 Flying Fortress. If anybody knows what that is, those were the planes that bombed Germany during the day, and I think the British did it at night. And he was in from 43 to 45 until the end of the war. And then what was weird, Wendy, and I never put this together until later in his life and, mm-hmm. and later in my life, is that he was back in the Korean War. And I always kind of just assume the Korean War is kind of butted up against World War II, but it was 8 years later.
Yeah, so he came home from World War II.
Got married. Bought a house. Mm-hmm. Had a job.
Settled down.
Got called back
because he was in the reserve.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then he went back. Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, I thank him and all the others for their service.
Yeah, and he was Army Air Corps, and then in Korean conflict, it turned into the Army Air Force, or the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's a big sacrifice.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big sacrifice to join the military and any of the, you know, Army, Navy, Air Force. So,
yeah, definitely. Hey, let's talk a little bit about our journey this weekend. We mm-hmm. had a lot of fun. But we're turning into big sports fanatics again.
You know, I've always loved sports. I've never been a basketball fan, really, until I started watching the women's basketball,
yeah.
right, last season.
Yeah.
And that really charged me. So I'm, like, ready again. They're starting. Yeah. I'm going to be a fan. I'm going to go to the games. I want to support women's basketball. But we've been watching men's basketball.
Yeah, the Timberwolves. Ooh.
Ooh.
Right, hear that in the background. We almost went there. We went to Twins game on my birthday,
which was Saturday.
Yeah
and we watched the Twins win, and we had a really good day. It was mm-hmm. beautiful weather, mm-hmm. and it's always good to support the Twins, the Minnesota Twins.
Yeah.
And then after that, I was like, let's just stay in Minneapolis and see if we could get tickets to see the Timberwolves, but that would have been a little bit more than we could afford.
Right.
And it was fun to come home and watch it. So, yeah.
So I'm looking up here. Cause Cart is cause-cart.com.
Oh, okay.
So
we have to change that.
Two words.
Okay.
With a dash in between.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's awesome. And then yesterday,
yeah.
Memorial Day, we went on a maiden voyage on the pontoon on the Mississippi River. It was really a good day. We took our little dog, Wanda. And it's kind of funny. Like, I have to pack a bag for her. Like, no, I'm not even kidding. Like, fresh water. Because we drink bubbly waters, like LaCroix and Bubblies.
Mm-hmm.
So, fresh water for Wanda. A little, you know, a little... I have a collapsible little bowl for her
mm-hmm.
to drink the water out of. And then we have to, of course, bring some treats for her. So she has like a little snack while we're eating our sandwiches and whatever. So she doesn't get jealous. So there's like snacks for her. Wanda also has a cooling jacket where you just dump it in water, wring it out so it's wet, and then it's has that cooling material. So if you put that on her, she could stay cool. Yesterday was already cool, so she didn't need that. But we had her life jacket on, so then she has like a little life jacket. So it's just like, oh my gosh, it's like bringing a baby on the boat. So,
well,
but anyway, she had a great time. She barks at the dogs playing in the dog park down in the Mississippi River. So it's kind of funny. She
Well, and it's cool too. We are talking about Wanda, our wonder dog. Wendy, for 9 years, you've been talking about our sacred animals, and Wanda is family. Whenever I see on Facebook or anywhere that somebody's quote unquote pet passes on, mm-hmm. I always type in family and put a heart because
yeah,
they are family.
They are family. Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. We talk about that all the time. We saw a couple of eagles,
bald eagles
yesterday, and a couple of nests on the Mississippi River. And you know what? While I was thinking about the eagles, they say here, this is from the internet, this is an AI overview of the bald eagles on the Mississippi River in St. Paul.
Mm.
Yeah. And, usually the best viewing to see these eagles is in the winter.
Wow.
Yeah, they say it's in the winter. Winter viewing is best time to see bald eagles in St. Paul between December and March, when large numbers of eagles congregate. They also really stay where the warm water is. Mm-hmm. So what are those things like coming out from the street, like the street runoffs,
the sewers,
and
I guess.
Sewers and stuff, and where the water is warm, that's where they
Well, we know that we know that where the nests are, so we know they're year round here.
Do. And that one nest that we saw had little heads. You could tell that there were little eagles in the nest. So we'll be really watching those eaglets grow up, really, and hopefully one day we'll see them leave their nest.
Well, hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and up next we're going to have Ruth Anna Buffalo on, and we're going to talk a lot about her work, and she's got a surprise guest for us, so we got a jam-packed show.
Fantastic. Stay with us.
Hey, Native Roots Radio, we'll be right back.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heapa Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Rudy Luther Toyota is the dealer you can trust. Go to rudyluthertoyota.com to browse their inventory of new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Style, performance, and reliability, you can find it all at Rudy Luther. With every new and certified pre-owned vehicle, you'll get a Luther Advantage card. Save 10 cents per gallon at the pump and get $6 Works car washes at Holiday Station stores. That's right. You can get a great vehicle and help stretch your budget even further. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. Hey, let's get our friend Ruth Anna Buffalo on here right away. Welcome, Ruth. Good to see you. I hope you had a long rested weekend. Oh, you are muted, Ruth.
Dosha, hello, and Mazagadads. Thank you for having us. And yes, had a good weekend. How about you both?
Yeah, we were just talking about it. We got out on the boat. We're big basketball fans now, and we were a little sad last night, but Let's get your guest on here, because I'd love you love for you to introduce her and talk a little bit about what's happening.
Yes, for sure. We have Anicia joining us. Yay, there she is. So we have Anicia Larson. She is with Family Services here at MIWRC, and she is our ICWA liaison. And so without further ado, I will turn it over to Anicia to introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. As Ruth said, I'm the ICWA liaison here at MIWRC, and I've been here for about a year now. I would say June 1st was like my first start date. And so she asked me to talk about Kids Night Out today, and I'm super excited to talk more about it.
Well, let's do it. Welcome. Go ahead, Ruth.
Oh, no, I said yay, and then also your tribal nation as well, if you wouldn't mind sharing.
Yeah, Lower Sioux.
Right on. Well, we have a relative, our son-in-law is Ojibwe, so, you know, we got it all covered here today on Native Roots Radio. Oh, what?
I feel like there should be, like, applause or something.
Yeah, I'll get that applause button working again. Hey, tell us a little bit about what you do there. That sounds like a really handful, especially with we get a lot of times an assault on ICWA here with our friends. So let's talk about that a little bit and talk about what you do.
Yeah, it is a lot. I mean, I can't put myself in their shoes, you know, the moms, the dads, everyone that's going through that. You know, I just try to be their best support resource. You know, I try to take some stress off of them, whether it be, you know, providing some groceries, basic needs, car rides, transportation, whatever they may need, even advocacy and court, I can provide. You know, I always tell my client relatives that I'm their cheerleader in this. You know, it's tough, not only for me, but for them. And, you know, like I said earlier, I just try to be the best support and resource that I can for my client relatives. Yeah.
I like the way you call them your client relatives. That's beautiful. What else? So let's run through the scenario. So people reach out to you and to the organization. Mm-hmm. And then talk us through the steps of how they can receive help from you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So it depends on who, like with my own program in family services, I take in walk-ins, referrals. You know, if they're sending a friend over, whoever, you know, I'll do the intake process with them. And then, you know, I ask them if they need anything, if they need any basic needs, groceries, housing, things like that. I kind of ask the first time meeting, and then I kind of ask them if they have any court coming up or if they need some communication with their CP worker, their caseworker, anything in those work or in that line of work. You know, I try to get down that first meeting. So then that way they know that I'm a trusted resource, you know, that not all that work is going to be on them. And, you know, I check in with them weekly. You know, some of my cases, you know, they just started the CPS process. Some of them are in the midst of it. And then I have one case for sure that is, you know, mom's reunified with her kiddos, and it's really great. You know, I'm, you know, there with every step. But yeah, that's kind of the process. I'll just do the intake and just give them all the resources. You know, I let them know that I'm there for them. And I give them a goodie bag, you know, with whatever they may need. I give them snacks, things like that. So in that way, they can take their stress down just a little bit less.
Well, I mean, basic needs is just basic needs, groceries and housing, a roof over your head. So thank goodness for programs like this.
Can you say something? Because I think I heard something. Can you say something?
Yeah.
Oh, there okay, you go. Oh, you're back on. Hey, well, I have a quick question. What does CPS stand for?
Child Protection Services.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and you know, I'm an adoptee, so you know, these stories run deep with me, and you know, it took me years to find my way back. And so I appreciate the work that you do. And there was no ICWA back then. It's amazing. It must be gratifying, but also it must be a lot and takes a lot of you too. And how do you protect yourself and how do you take care of yourself?
Yeah, so one of my self-care things that I do is I like to run. It's just one of those things where when I run, my mind just goes blank. I don't have anything on my mind. I just do it. And I just, you know, take care of my mental health. I color, like, for fun. I do colored pencils, things like that. And I smudge a lot. You know, I always have, like, my little to-go one. And then I have one here at MIWRC in my office and things like that. And, you know, I just really take, like, a step back and think, wow, I am incredibly blessed not only to be in this position, but then to help my client relatives and making sure that, like, they're taken care of and like I can help them in whatever way. It's just, yeah, like you said, it's really gratifying and it's so nice seeing their stress levels come down when I step up. Even with other programs, seeing our advocacy and our advocates step up, it's just a really beautiful thing.
Wow, that is beautiful. And we're talking about the services that Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center gives, and it's amazing. The organization's been around for 40 years, and you have great leadership with Ruth Anna Buffalo. And we're blessed here on Native Roots Radio always to have her on once a week and talk about the great things you're doing. I was there for the opening, and it was just the community loves that place. That was there was so many people there.
Yes.
I have a question. I mean, I don't. Maybe you could talk when you come back after the break, but we could get started. But like, could you explain maybe some of the situations that get people into a situation where they do need your resources? Like, what is happening to them and what are they going through?
Yeah, that's a super broad
loaded
question. So
it is very broad.
So it all just depends, you know. Obviously, as Indigenous Native Indian folk, we have a lot of targets on our backs, especially with CPS, with child protection, with anything, you know. And like I said, it's just, it's so hard to answer just because every situation is different. You know, all of our, at least all of my client relatives, they have their, I wish, I'm trying to word it right. They just, you know, if it's a generational trauma thing, you know, they grew up in a system.
Sure.
You know, and then they don't have the correct or additional resources that they have now. And then, you know, if they use and they're not sober and things like that, it just all adds up. And then, you know, you have the traditional child protection worker who doesn't see what us Indigenous people have that we teach our own, that we do through culture, history, things like that. They might see it as like, oh, that's interesting. That's not how children should be raised, you know, like in housing types of ways, food, medicines. So that's how they get on CPS's radar. And it's quite unfortunate because you're not letting us tell our story, our history, our culture, especially with our children, because, you know, women and children are life. So it's just very difficult. And then, you know, there's a mistrust in the system. And
you know that. You know that, Wendy, too, from working at the U of M all those years.
Yeah, definitely. About trust issues mainly. It's, I can imagine, really difficult times for these women and children. So
It's so needed, and I'm so glad you're on. We'll talk to you a little more. We're talking about really the great services that Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center has, and we are really, really happy to talk to Ruth Anna once a week, and now you today, about the things that you're doing. And really, it warms our heart, and I know our listeners love hearing about this, because if we don't talk about it, people don't know, so... Exactly. We're going to take a quick break, and this is Native Roots Radio and on the air. Ho-wa.
Stay with us.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
CBS News Brief, the ninth test of the SpaceX Starship, and there's a fuel leak, according to Dan Hewitt at Mission Control.
Telemetry, we are in a little bit of a spin. We did spring a leak in some of the fuel tank systems inside of Starship.
This latest test comes after two others ended in fiery explosions. The Trump administration is looking to end all federal contracts with Harvard University. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
The letter told these agencies to review the contracts and terminate them if they're not critical to government operations, and to do it really soon, to do it by the beginning of June.
The administration is also asking the Supreme Court to stop an order allowing migrants to challenge their deportations to South Sudan. Loyola Law School professor Lori Levinson.
The Department of Homeland Security and the Trump administration want a free hand in how they handle these migrants and the deportation procedures.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Boston Red Sox in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, game two of the Brewers and Red Sox. The crew winning yesterday 3-2. Trevor McGill with the save, and lefty D.L. Hall awarded the win after coming off the 60-day IL plagued with injuries. I asked Hall how it felt first game back in front of a sold-out stadium in front of over 40,000 fans.
Oh, great. I mean, I was excited, you know, just to be back out there. Executed the pitches when I need to. Other than the leadoff walk, I thought it was pretty good.
Packers quarterback Jordan Love on hand to throw out the first pitch. Spent about a half hour in the Brewers clubhouse before the game.
It was awesome. Being down in the clubhouse, talking to all the guys, you know, how they get ready for a game. It's definitely a lot different than football environment, but these guys are playing games every day. So it's definitely a whole different world coming out here and seeing the behind-the-scenes action. So I'm very grateful that they were able to welcome me in there and just talk and hang out for a little bit. They all seem like really good guys.
That's Jordan Love with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Billie Eilish had an outstanding Memorial Day weekend. She took home an award for every category she was nominated in at the American Music Awards Sunday night, thanks to her album, Hit Me Hard and Soft. Eilish was nominated 7 times, including for Artist of the Year, Album of the Year, Favorite Touring Artist, Favorite Female Pop Artist, and Favorite Pop Album. She also won for Song of the Year and Favorite Pop Song. Beyonce brought home 2 awards for Favorite Female Country Artist, and her somehow controversial album, Cowboy Carter, notched her a Favorite Country Album trophy. Post Malone also now has his first Country Music Award after winning Favorite Male Country Artist. Eminem took home 2 awards for Favorite Male Hip Hop Artist and Favorite Hip Hop Album for The Death of Slim Shady. Gracie Abrams won Best New Artist, and Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars won Best Video Collaboration. Mars also won Favorite Pop Musical Artist of the Year. I was shout out again. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, cloudy sky, few showers around at times. Low tonight, low 50s. High tomorrow in the upper 60s. Dries out for the end of the week and the upcoming weekend as the temps climb. Heating up into the 70s Thursday, close to 80 for Friday and the weekend. Currently at 64 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Perivonian, and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACDI, in Minneapolis.
On the Great Corridor, the Native American Corridor on Franklin Avenue.
Yes, definitely.
Hey, we're here with CEO Ruth Ann Buffalo of Minnesota Women's Resource Center. And Ruth Ann, jump on in. There's a lot of great things happening at your organization. And Anisha is just another great example of people that work with you.
Yes, for sure. We're super thankful to have Anisha on board and the rest of the staff. We have a lot of support groups, too, that are occurring. And today is Tuesday, so we just finished up the Tuesday Resource Connect. That was sort of birthed as a result of opening the doors for Emergency Warming Center to help the unsheltered relatives. And so, yeah, there's lots of moving parts. I feel a little guilty, I guess, for not, it dawned on me that I really don't mention much about the MUD groups, but maybe I'm currently one of the officers, but I mainly talk about MIWRC, so I'm not sure if I should also mention anything for MUD, but I just came from a MUD meeting, so that's why it's kind of fresh. But I know they're gearing up for the big parade this Friday, and so that's pretty exciting, and they mentioned today, you know, that the traveling trophy left the building last week.
I don't know, Wendy, if you know this, but Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center won the best float last year, and
they're
reigning champions.
That's amazing.
And you missed the cakewalk at the open house, Robert.
I know. There was so many people. What a great open house. There was so many people from community. That was just awesome.
Yeah, we're super thankful. Everyone, you know, was able to get fed and maybe picked up some door prizes and, you know, danced and heard the songs and everything. So, yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, I got a T-shirt, too. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you that, but somebody slipped me a nice extra large T-shirt I should be wearing today.
Yep, we want to see those T-shirts for sure.
Cool. Hey, again, before I forget, I want you to shout out how people can support, find more information about Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center and its great 40-year legacy it has for helping our Native people.
Yes, please go to miwrc.org/donate, or even if you just go to the website miwrc.org, there'll be a big donate tab that will pop up. We're super thankful for the continued support of the community and the founders, you know, who came together 40 years ago to think seven generations and beyond to make sure that we could live a good, healthy, long life.
Well, what's interesting, too, I haven't been there in a while to the building, and it's really taken off with the new construction. Talk a little bit about that. That's a beautiful thing for our unhoused relatives and how you guys have been helping and are helping the community.
Yeah, we're pretty excited that the construction is moving forward. It started probably mid-November, our groundbreaking ceremony was in October, and then about a month later in November, construction started upstairs, and so it's been really fun to watch the entire process, you know, of seeing, like, the entire floor, third and fourth floor, get completely wiped out, or wiped, you know, where it's just, like, an open, looks like an open hall type of a thing, and now there's units and walls and hallways and everything. And so we moved from 2 to 3 bedroom units, 14 2 to 3 bedroom units to 24 single units or 24 efficiencies, with 4 of them being single units for disabilities. And so we'll have a third party property management, and we'll have, you know, there's lots of moving pieces, and there'll be, I would say the majority of the housing, the tenant units are going to be through coordinated entry. And so there's, yeah, so much that we're learning throughout the process, but we're super excited and also learned Just the importance of gathering in community and that extra support system. You know, when we had our doors open during very frigid winter temperatures for overnight, you know, it was that community piece that really helps keep people feeling support and also on a path towards healing and recovery. So we're just super thankful for all the community support and looking forward to when we get the tenant spaces occupied.
when is the date that they're thinking about getting it done?
Yep. So we are projected, our goal is to have 6 tenant units occupied by the end of this August. And then we'll move forward in at least 3 tenant increments, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
we were kind of a little bit behind. In July, we were slated to start occupying spaces upstairs in July, but that's going to be lumped in with August 3. So the goal is to have 6 tenant spaces occupied by the end of this August. And then each month thereafter will be 3 tenant spaces being occupied. But we can, I'm pretty sure we can also do more than 3 as the months go on, but at least 3 is projected and fully finished by December of 2026, I believe.
That's awesome. So what do we got on the calendar this week? We really enjoy having you on and letting the community and us know what's happening at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center.
Well, I'll turn it over to Anicia again. Yeah. If that's okay.
That's great.
Yeah. So tomorrow night we are hosting our second Kids Night Out event. And this month's event is going to be about the history of lacrosse and the game of it. So we have someone coming in and teaching the kiddos about lacrosse, and we are making lacrosse sticks.
Wow.
And yeah, I've had a lot of folks reach out to get on the list, and I'm super excited.
Well, that's funny you mentioned the list, too. When I was at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, people were drawing art in one of the rooms, and it was just somebody texted me, goes, I just saw you, and it was like, what? And that was amazing to see 18 people in there with 2 artists showing them how to do ledger art. It was crazy.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, just kind of chiming in here.
No.
But yeah, it's nice to have the place buzzing, you know, I mean, we have, you know, it's just great to have, seeing the relatives coming in and out. You know, we have a meal program, Monday, Thursday, Fridays as well. And then IPTF, uses the kitchen and the community room gym space on Wednesdays for their community meal. Like there's a youth group downstairs right now. IPTF rents the north side of the space downstairs, adjacent to the drop-in center. But yeah, it had a cool feel that day, especially, you know, like the everything going on in the community room, and then the ledger art session across the way in the Nokomis NDAD area. And it reminds me too of when we had the meet and greet about a year ago. On that side of the building, and then we were able to go across to the cedar ceremony, you know, in the gym, the community room. So yeah, it's always good to have the place buzzing with activity for sure.
And you know, Ruth Anna, it's so great to have, well, both of you on today, but you on each week, because sometimes we don't get the updates of the great work that Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center does. And it's so we really appreciate you coming on and talking about that. And I saw from my own eyes that community members were there. They were excited for the opening, and somebody got my cake during the cakewalk, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, we're thankful that you provide this space for us. And we're super thankful to be working alongside great Native orgs in the community and the metro here, and just, you know, trying to pitch in where we can to help move the communities forward, the families, individuals, and just, you know, trying to do our part and be, I think it's everybody's responsibility to help where we can. And so it's just like they say, being a good relative or being a good ancestor for sure.
Definitely. Hey, we only got a couple minutes left. Is there anything that you want to have our guest, Ms. Larson, speak on before we let go? Is there anything, Ruth, that you'd like to ask her or have her talk about?
Let's see.
I have a quick question, if that's okay, Ruth.
Sure, go ahead.
Or Anicia, either one. So these units that you have for people coming up now, are they all furnished? Or like the beds and couches or whatever you have in those rooms, were those items donated? Or can people donate to help out? Or how does that work?
My understanding is that everything will come with full amenities.
Nice.
Yeah. So
yeah, I think beautiful.
Within this past month, there were different colors and, you know, layouts coming across the inbox of like what would work best and things. And so, it's coming along really, really good, nice big windows. So there's going to be a lot of natural light. I was just up there last week, and it's really progressing, you know, to see walls and ceilings, and they're really good spaces too. Closets, you know, the bathroom, the kitchenette area. We're looking forward to when we can maybe give some tours too. The construction company is really gracious to the MIWRC staff and provides a time slot on the calendar where we can take weekly tours upstairs, you know, so it's super nice to have a good working relationship with the construction too. And a couple of the construction workers actually went out in the Dance the Intertribal with us too.
Oh, you know, wow.
Open house. So they were a little hesitant at first. They were saying, you know, are you guys going to have one of these when the top two floors are complete? And I said, yeah, but you know, you should probably, but just come out there now with us. And so they came out there with us, you know, so it was cool to see.
Well, we got to have your guest on again. There's a lot of great information, and Ruth Anna and Miss Larson, thank you so much for coming on. And I just want to say this too, not only do you house people and help people during the cold weather, I know when it got really steamy, a couple of weeks ago, you guys were really opening up the doors again. So it's really good to have you two on and talk about the great work that we're doing and that you're doing for our relatives. So a big peenie-geegee thank you too.
Well, it's a good odds. Just want to say it's in partnership with the community, so can't do
right
it alone
on.
For sure. Yeah, lots of good odds.
And Miss Larson, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Rudy Luther Toyota has a great way for you to purchase your next vehicle. It's the Toyota Smart Path. You can shop at the dealership or on your couch. Shop smarter by saving time, and remember, they'll have the best prices and no surprises. You can browse the available vehicles, use the Smart Path payment estimator to customize your own payments, apply for financing, and then finalize your purchase. Smart Path is the smartest path to your new vehicle. Check it out online at RudyLutherToyota.com or stop by Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Arts Center, an art space that's more than the Spoon and Cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demony, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
The Council on LGBTQIA2S+ Minnesotans is conducting a community need survey. Two-Spirit and Native queer voices are sacred and must be heard.
Your experiences will guide programs and policies that support our relatives across Minnesota. The survey is confidential and available at mnqt.info/survey. The deadline is May 31st. Honor your story. Help build the future we deserve.
Oh-ho! This is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka Hicha Wicha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No!
No!
Wow.
See how I said no and howled at the same time?
Good.
Hey, this is like old time's sake. Wendy Pinigigi, thank you so much for being on. And, you know, you've been on since the beginning of the show. We've been on 9 years, and you've brought so much to the show with talking about our sacred animals, which are our relatives. And so I just want to hand this over to you and just say a big thank you and a big peeny gigi for all you do. And I can't wait to hear about this section.
Yeah.
I hope there's no questions.
Thank you, Robert.
Oh,
hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I am a policy volunteer for Humane World for Animals, which is previously known as the Humane Society of the United States. And I talk about animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that.
Right on.
I was reading this article that you're not going to believe.
I won't believe
so
it.
There was a picture of this bird with a big fat belly, and it said, birds with so much plastic in them, their bellies crunch. So I said to myself, egads, that sounds pretty awful. Let me look into this. It's on Lord Howe Island. Lord Howe Island. It's a remote Australian territory where sable shearwater birds are so full of plastic that their bellies crunch when touched.
Whoa.
And this is according to CNN and the Washington Post. Scientists believe that the birds are ingesting plastic, particularly large pieces, because they accidentally mistake them for fish and squid, which is their usual food. So this is why this is happening. Just, you know, I don't know if there's other birds around that their stomachs are so full that they crunch. That's pretty scary to me. And it probably causes, I'm just imagining myself like an early death or early problems or, you know, that a bird should have. And here's why this is happening. So this is accidental ingestion. The birds, including the sable shear waters, are feeding plastic to their chicks.
Oh.
Yeah, believing that is that it is food.
Mm.
High concentration of plastic. The island's remote location has made it a haven for seabirds, but it also comes to a dumping ground for plastic debris, with the birds now ingesting large quantities. So, you know, there's so many visual similarities between the floating plastic, right? Particularly with algae, and it could be mistaken for prey for the birds. And that's according to the Paulson Institute. The impact on the chicks are particularly vulnerable as their underdeveloped organs are unable to process the plastics as easily, you know, as an adult. So, every time I'm walking along the beach, every single time I walk along the beach, I bring a bag. And I can't tell you how much stuff that I just pick up just walking, you know, even a half a mile.
Well, what about with your net on the boat that we have?
Oh, I know. Okay, so this is another story. So on the Mississippi River, we have a net that we just keep on the pontoon.
Mm-hmm.
We go up and down the river, and anytime I see anything floating, you know, we pull up and I just grab it out of the water. All kinds of stuff that we found, empty oil plastic oil containers, like the Valvoline that people are putting in their boats, right? And they might leave it on the shore, and then a big boat goes by with a wake and makes a wave on the shore, and then all that debris goes right back into the, you know, fishing line. We have a lot of styrofoam stuff. A lot of bottles, water bottles, plastic water bottles. You know, we see people up and down the river fishing. So, you know, if they're eating their lunch, some plastic might. And, you know, it might be unintentional. It might be just by a mistake. But I think we really all need to just, you know, be careful about what we're doing and how we're littering these animals. And they were like in Long Beach, New York, there were early in the season, just a couple of months ago, there was one or two whales that came on shore and died when they did open up their stomachs to do like a necropsy or autopsy report. They have plastic, you know, because they think that it's food. You know, the bags, especially when they're floating, they kind of wave around like a squid, right? So, yeah, we really have to be careful.
Yeah, and I think, too, Wendy, a lot of it, at least on the river, because it's the height of the river is so volatile. If it rains, it gets steeper, and people may think they're just leaving trash on the shore, but it ends up floating into the river.
It does. It does end up floating in the river. It does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, everybody just take care. Whatever you bring and, you know, take back with you, use the garbage cans. And I think that we use too much plastic. I mean, you know, you go to a restaurant, you get a salad, it comes in that one-use plastic container. You know, it's going to take forever to degrade and break down in the environment, and it's just too much. So there's another little site that I watch my time because I'm not watching but so I'm friends with David Attenborough fans. David Attenborough, he's a person who cares about the environment. He's like 99 years old anyway. And yeah, there's a new documentary that's coming out on Netflix. I'm gonna get the name and everything, but this site just puts up really funny facts, not funny facts, or all kinds of facts about animals. And I talked about these snails, right? So we see snails because it rains so much. So you see a snail, and the snails find little shells and they go around. But here's the thing. Please be aware that if you pick up snails to move them to safer places, you could unintentionally cause them pain if not done properly. So ripping them away from the ground. So you see a snail going, and your intention is, I know mine would be, just to pick up the shell and take the snail off that spot and move them to another spot. But what you really need to do is tap on the shell so that the snail retracts back into the shell, because what happens is the snail has all little kind of suction cups on the bottom of them, right? And they're on the ground. So if you rip them from the ground, you could really hurt them, cause them pain, sometimes even death. So just tap on their shell first so they retract back into their shell, and then you could just take the shell and move it to a, you know, a safer spot, because you don't want it across the road where it could get run over, or, you know, on the sidewalk. So if you see a snail, you want to tap on the shell, let it retract back in the shell, and move that shell under some, you know, like under a bush or in a dark spot where it has moisture. So we want to take care of these little garden snails. And, you know, we get those snails in Long Beach, New York, and they're always in the courtyards. So I've even told a couple of people about this, that you have to tap on their shells. So hopefully people will remember to do that.
I learn something here all the time with just generally speaking, but especially with your sacred animal portion here.
Yeah, it's always my favorite thing to talk about. And, you know, we were talking about the eagles earlier that we saw on the Mississippi River. It always is like when we see the eagles on the river, I'm always like, I gasp. Like, it takes me.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Trigby Olson of the Lincoln Project and Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow joins us to talk about priorities Wisconsin might have in the state budget. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The SpaceX Starship launched successfully, but a half hour into the ninth test, fuel leaked, and the SpaceX's Dan Hewitt says the Starship started spinning out of control.
We are still on a path toward reentry. We are suborbital, so no matter what, we are going to enter. However, this lowers the chances for it to be a controlled reentry.
In a message obtained by CBS News, the Trump administration issues an order to U.S. embassies. CBS News White House reporter Sarah Cook.
CBS News obtained a cable from Secretary of State Marco Rubio instructing diplomatic posts not to add any new appointments for student and foreign exchange visa applicants.
The State Department is going to expand social media screenings for applicants who want to study in the U.S. The U.S. issues a do not travel warning for Americans looking to go to Venezuela. The State Department spokesperson Tammy Bruce.
More U.S. nationals are currently wrongfully detained in Venezuela than in any other country.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local.